chapter 1, and we can read again at verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And I would like us this evening, in connection with our harvest thanksgiving service, to consider the record of the sixth day of the creation narrative as we have it recorded here for us in Genesis chapter 1. And I want to highlight four things very briefly this evening. I want to highlight the verbs that are at the end of Genesis chapter 1. We are told, for example, in verse 27 that God created man. And then we are told in verse 28 that God blessed man. And then we are told in verse 29 that God gave to man. And then finally, in verse 31 here, we are told that God saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. These four things, four verbs, very briefly this evening. Our first point then is, God created man. God created man, from verse 27. So God is the author and the source of our lives. In verse 26 we read that God said, let us make man. Let us make man. This is the act of the sovereign God speaking as the triune God. And here, at the very beginning of divine revelation, in the depths of his own divine triunity, God takes counsel and God says, let us make man. He does not simply say, let there be. He says, let us make. So you notice that the creation of man is preceded by this great mystery of God being one in essence and yet in three persons. He is the one true God, and yet he is in three distinct persons. It's here in the very name of God himself. The name of God here in verse 1 is a plural form, Elohim. And this triune God says, let us make man in our image and after our own likeness. He is going to make man, and it's preceded by this great consultation within the being of God himself, and indeed within the persons of his own being. So, the creation of man involves this great consultation between the persons of the Godhead. And that's important for us to understand. It's important with regards to the place that God has given man in his world. The position that God has put man in over his own creation. The fact that our own creation into this world involved such a consultation shows indeed that the creation of man was the very masterpiece of the work of God himself. One theologian compared the fall of man to the bombing of a tenement building during the war. The upper story of that building was destroyed by the bomb, and then all the rubble falls down onto the floors below, and the whole structure is in danger of collapsing. And you remember, when man sinned, it's as if the upper story of the knowledge and the righteousness and the holiness that man had was lost and effaced when man sinned against God. And then he was left open to corruption, to dissolution, and eventually to death itself. The whole structure has to be rebuilt again. And it's in Christ that rebuilding takes place. In Christ there is a new creation, a restoration, and a renewal of the image. And in Jesus Christ, who is the image, there is this restoration of the image of God upon the soul, so that the structure will be at last fully rebuilt and perfectly completed. That's true with regard to your own soul and mine. God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." That's our first point. But secondly here, not only did God create man, but secondly, God blessed man. God blessed them. Not only was he the source of life, but he was the source of blessing. Every good thing that they had came from him. Verse 28 here, "And God blessed them. And God said, go forth and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the earth." You see the place that God has given to the masterpiece of his own creation, man? He's given him dominion over the earth, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. God gave all this to man, and it is a blessing to him. It is God giving him his blessing. And the word to bless in the Bible is a very interesting word indeed. It means to bestow special favour upon someone. For example, in Psalm 103, as we were singing at the beginning of that psalm, it says that the psalmist is blessing God. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is. Be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. Bless, O my soul, the Lord my God, and not forgetful be of all his gracious benefits. All his gracious benefits he hath bestowed on thee. That's the psalmist. And that's him blessing God as a response of God blessing him. And it is always our duty to bless God, because he is himself apart. He is sovereign and supreme. So therefore we ought not to forget all of his benefits. But we read here that God made them and God blessed them. It's not as if God made them and then just left them to get on with it. It's not as if God created man and he then had to fend for himself. No, God made them and God blessed them, bestowing upon them all his manifold blessings, privileges, benefits, and blessings. The favour that God bestows is to have rule over this lower world. It's to rule the world wisely and be wise stewards with what God has given us. It's to work well in this world so as to provide for ourselves and to provide for others. But you know as well as I do that man has not used this world for these particular reasons. We are here to glorify God, but the most of men are here not for that reason, but rather for themselves. He's used all that God has given him, not to the glory of God, but rather for his own good entirely. We see this every day. Exploitation going on at every level in society. Exploiting the earth, exploiting the earth's resources, exploiting weaker nations, exploiting weaker people. And God says, no, you are to rule wisely over the works of my hands, and you are to provide enough for yourself and provide for others also. we tend to have the kind of attitude that, oh yes, we provide for ourselves, but I'm not really concerned about providing for others. But we all have a responsibility to provide not only for ourselves, but also for those who do not have. And this is part of the favour that God has indeed bestowed, that we govern His world as made in His image, in His way, for the good and the benefit of all. It's a great blessing and a great responsibility to distribute what we have in order that others can benefit. But there is also the blessing not only of these temporal things, but of something spiritual and eternal. The blessing of the gospel. Not through the first Adam, but through the last Adam. The Lord from heaven and His finished work. He is the greatest blessing to mankind. He is the one who came and who died and suffered upon the cross, not just for a few here and a few there, to benefit one there and one there. No, God sent His Son into the world that the world through Him might not be condemned, but that the world through Him might be saved. So that's the second thing. God created and then God blessed. But thirdly here, God gave to man. God gave to man. Look at verse 29 here. God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed. To you it shall be for food. Every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding fruit, and every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and every creature that creepeth on the earth, to you it shall be for food. In which there is life, I have given it to you for food." Here is God not only creating and blessing, but also providing for His creatures. Psalm 145, with which we'll conclude this evening, tells us that God opens His hand wide or liberally and satisfies the needs of all that lives. People say, "Why then are there so many tonight without food in various parts of the world?" But God says that He satisfies the needs of all that lives. Why then are there so many who go without in our world tonight? Is it that God has failed to provide enough for everyone? No, there is provision enough from Him. But because we have failed to give of what we have to meet the needs of those who do not have. And this creation narrative here in Genesis chapter 1 is a sad indictment on our Western society and our Western civilizations, which are so focused on heaping up so much of an amount of this world's resources, when so many others are going without their daily bread. The fault is not with God, but with us, that there is starvation in the world tonight. Not in the provider, but in the stewards. Not in the master, but with the servants. And how they have failed to give to those who are in need. After all, nothing that you and I have is our own. We came into this world with nothing. The Bible says that we shall leave it with nothing. And what God has given us, it is in order that we would spread it, and that there would be a provision, and that there would be enough of a provision and enough of a spreading to satisfy the needs of all that live. An equalization of food throughout the world. That's what we have to aim for. That everyone gets what they need. And also with regard to the gospel. Not just our physical food, but our spiritual food. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is by God's word that we will live spiritually. We will feed on that. And there is to be this great equalization and spreading of that word throughout the world, not just keeping it to our own community, not just keeping it to our own few gathered from week to week, but doing what we can to spread that word. Where we're working, whom we go to visit, whoever we speak to on the phone, getting the message across. This great gift that God has given. God gave to man all these things in Genesis 1, but God gave his only begotten Son above all, that whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that's our third point. And finally here, he created, he blessed, he gave. And lastly, in verse 31, our text here, God saw everything. God saw, that's the verb. Him seeing everything that he had made. And it was very good. God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God was satisfied with what he did. God was satisfied with what he made. God was well pleased. And man, made in the image of God, could be satisfied too
with what God made. And it is in the work of God that the soul of man finds his or her real satisfaction. You remember in chapter 3 of Genesis, Adam thought in Genesis 3 that he could find satisfaction in something that God had actually forbidden. And rather than giving him more satisfaction than what God had already given him, he lost the satisfaction that he had. And that's what sin always does. It promises you more and more, but it leaves us with less and less. God says that there is satisfaction for us in what He has done above all. This is my work, and you rest there. That's what He's saying. That is where your satisfaction lies, in what I have given. That's where Adam was to find his lasting satisfaction, in the work of God. And it's in the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of God also in him, that you and I as sinners are to find everlasting satisfaction. That is where you and I will be fully made up. We can look at what we have done ourselves, and we derive a satisfaction, and quite rightly so, from what we do when we do something good. Say, for example, if you've baked a cake. Say, for example, if you've done a bit of work in the house. Say, for example, if you've done your own work and fulfilled your own duty in the workplace to the best of your ability, you can take a certain amount of satisfaction in that. But God is telling us that the place where you and I will find most satisfaction is in what He has done. And not merely in the creation, but rather in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came in God's great name to save and to recreate a world made up and out of all who trust in Him, all who believe. This is where you and I are to rest. We often feel satisfied in looking out onto the splendor of God's creation, the beauty and the wonderment of it. But nothing satisfies a child of God more than resting his and her soul salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam, the Lord from heaven. Let it be so that on this Thanksgiving evening service, we ourselves will find this everlasting satisfaction that there is to be found in Him. Amen. May He bless His word. Let us pray.